You're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 383, brought to you by Pedantic Panda and ActionFigureBlues.com. I'm Scotty.
And I'm Eddie. Tonight, our toys of the week are the NECA TMNT animated Krangin Muckman and the Metzco 112 Collective Thanos action figure. Hi to each other.
How are you?
Sorry, you did say right before we started recording we have to say hi to each other. So it was a weird instruction, but I followed it like a 70s sitcom.
Were you a little brother or you're an only child, aren't you?
I'm an only child, so technically I am
little brother.
The little brother, the older brother, the in-between. I'm all the Brady kids in one. A little bit of Alice.
A little bit of Alice. Yeah. I remember when my sister, who is 4 years younger than me, came into our family being outraged that I couldn't, my parents would not consider Marsha, Jen, or Cindy as a name. Outraged. I have this really vivid memory of being in the car and being like, but those are good names. And they're like, no, you don't like them. It was everything. Yeah. Brady Bunch was everything. So, look, there's all sorts of miserable things happening in the world and in Australia right now. And depending on where you are and when you're listening to this, you may be in some kind of lockdown or have been in some kind of lockdown or whatever. And so we're just not even going to talk about all that garbage because that's all everyone talks about. And instead, we're going to talk about what you came to listen for, which is, of course, toys. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! So we haven't chatted for a while. What are the kind of highlight acquisitions for you, Eddie, since last we spoke?
Oh, see, this is always the difficult part, is trying to remember what has happened between last we spoke and now, it's just so I don't repeat myself. But there has been a fair bit that started to come through. So some of the Marvel Legends Infinity Saga stuff's starting to come out there.
Have
so
you I've got some?
I've got the first film, Iron Man, and the Endgame, the Thanos where he's starting to dust, and the I Am Iron Man. Tony, for I don't know why I'm trying to avoid spoilers on that film because chances are, if you're listening to this, you were
old
one
spoilers.
Of the
semi-recent old spoilers.
So I got those in. I've got a couple of other Marvel Legends in. So the John Walker in his Captain America outfit, which is actually cool because the package is made to look like the package that the figures are in the TV show. The Negative Spider-Man. Oh, Quasar I actually got in, which is one of those rare ones that's like made its way here before it's really started to even hit in the States, which for some reason the Walgreens Cosmic series there is apparently quite hard to get. So even like Nova hasn't really turned up there yet. Oh, so yeah, got him. There's some new Lightning Collection Power Rangers stuff starting to hit, including a figure that surprisingly snuck up on me and is contender for Figure of the Year, which is the Tenga Warrior, which... If you don't know Power Rangers, you won't know it. And if you know Power Rangers, you might not even know it because it's a very obscure character from the later seasons of Mighty Morphin. But he's like just this big crow guy. But he's got these beautiful like metallic green shivers on his wings. Sort of pigeons have those metallic feathers.
Yes.
He's got like that paintwork over him and he's big and chunky as an articulated
beak.
Who
makes these? Just my ignorance showing. Who makes the Power Rangers Lightning Collection stuff?
These are made by Hasbro, who actually, they a couple of years ago just outright brought Power Rangers as an entire brand. So they took them to their lawyers who filed the paperwork for Saban and claimed copyright from them with a purchase. And yeah, so they actually produced the new TV shows and completely own the brand.
I do remember that now that you say.
Yeah. Very cool, because a lot of the figures we've gotten have just been regular person body and spandex suit type one. So when we get the monster ones at school, there's actually like some really great sculpting and pieces and that going on there. So even if you're not a Power Ranger fan, he might be one that if you see on the shelf, he'd be a good even creature on a Ghostbuster shelf. Or I could see Marvel Legends people customizing a beak or something out of that from the Grant Morrison X-Men run. It's just weird, you don't really get a lot of bird themed people or characters. And I've got a bunch of Ninja Turtle stuff, which I'll talk about later on in the episode.
Love it.
big purchases. What about yourself? What have you been getting?
I've got a bunch of action figurey stuff, but I just have to mention a couple of statue acquisitions because the Sideshow Premium formats DC-wise have been rolling in. So I've got the Scarecrow, which is awesome. I'll put some photos up on Instagram and stuff. And that one comes with, he's standing on the grave of Jason Todd and the zombified Robin is coming out of the grave. I mean, that luck doesn't totally make sense because Jason didn't really die, I suppose, but it's still pretty cool.
It depends on when you're reading.
That's true.
He got reckoned. He was dead at a point, and then they were like, no, Hush is popular. We got to completely take the twist from Hush and make it real.
And then the new Bane as well, so I'll wait till I can talk to John with John here properly to wax lyrical about that. And then also, last week, like in between lockdowns, I got an amazing, like really good deal on the original Lobo premium format, which I hadn't picked up at the time and then regretted, but have never seen it for anywhere near a price that I would be willing to pay for it. And there was someone on one of our local Australia groups offering it at a really reasonable price. I'm actually helping him with some discount codes and stuff for other places to make myself feel better about the cheap price I got it for. And it's awesome. So that's all very exciting. And then on the action figure side, again, a bit like you, I'm not 100% sure where we were up to last time we chatted, but I've got the Mafex Hush Catwoman that I need to properly review. I've got the Suicide Squad King Shark Multiverse, the single pack one, because I don't want all the ones that make up the Build-A-Figure. I'll just get Peacemaker, probably the one with the helmet, because that is probably as close as we'll ever get to a Peacemaker figure. And he's pretty comic accurate. And he's really hilariously cool. And then somehow I've ended up with a couple of Nendoroids, which I've never owned before, but I got the Nebula. Like, I don't collect MCU stuff, but I have a real soft spot for the Karen Gillan Nebula. Nebula was the star of Endgame, the breakout, great performance, really cool character. Mm-hmm. Loved her in that. And I just came across the Nebula Deluxe Nendoroid and bought it. And then I love Stitch of, Lilo and Stitch, or Lilo and Stitch, depending on how you pronounce it. And I've ended up with a Stitch Nendoroid as well. Zero Nendoroids to two.
He's almost perfect for a Nendoroid. Is he one of those Nendoroids that doesn't even really look like a Nendoroid?
Yes. Yeah. So I haven't actually unpacked him yet. I just saw him and I visiting the new Minotaur in between lockdowns again. And I got my phone out because not everything there is at a sane price. I think I find they've been getting better, actually. But got my phone out and realized that it was pretty much the same price as everywhere else. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to grab it while I'm here. Often I see things in Minotaur that I then order at a better price online while I'm standing there. But
they do have a bit of a reputation for being overpriced, but they can be worth checking and seeing what they're actually asking for, because there is, someone explained it to me one day that used to work there about their system of how they work out the price for things, and it has to do, it's like they have like your massive order from previews where everyone gets like the comics and that from, as well as like the other pop culture stuff that comes from the back of the catalog in, which is often inflated anyway because essentially they're paying for it to be shipped from the factory to China to the previews warehouse in the US, and then that shipped from there, and then that's got you're adding sort of one or two extra middlemen on top of it. But then they like even out the cost by like cost of the product plus like the weight of that week's shipment in a weird way that other stores don't really do. So it's where sometimes if it was a really big shipment that week with heavy things and the shipping cost was extra high, a random figure might get the extra $10 cost chucked on it. But one being a particularly light week, for some reason that might not get quite equated the same. Or I think from the way this person mentioned, sometimes the math might be a little bit off and that might lead to some change as well. Yeah, it is, can be worth sometimes just checking and seeing what's actually on the label there, because there can be some bargains to be found. Indeed. From time to time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Marvel Legends Ursa Major Wave, which I can't remember if I had that one last time, but I've got that now, which I think is actually a great wave and a great builder figure. So that's all very exciting. And I'm just having a little look around my toy room to make sure I'm not missing any major things. I think that might be... Oh, I got Batman, Multiverse Batman Beyond.
What about pre-orders? Because we always talk about what we got in, but sometimes we don't mention, has there been anything in particular that you were like, oh, that went up this week, I'm going to grab and jump on that as a pre-order?
Look, I am so out of the habit of pre-ordering because we're so spoiled now in terms of being able to get things mostly either at e-tailers or retail in Australia. And so I prefer to hedge my bets rather than pre-order and then find out, oh, great, these guys are going to be the last people to get that, and it's sitting in front of me at Target or, you know, something. So no, I'm keeping up with stuff that just come out. So the Stargirl Bishojo is one that has just been released, and I'm seeing that in places now and working out the best place to get it from. But I haven't, off the top of my head, pre-ordered anything recently. What about you?
I got a couple of, I was able to get a Scareglow from the San Diego Comic-Con Mattel creation sale that they had the other week. But the one that got me this week is, speaking of two things I've already mentioned, is they've done a special crossover line at Hasbro of Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers based on the comic. And they did this kind of annoying thing where they revealed and put up for order a set each day this week. So it was, that order's gone up, and now I need to put in my order because I don't want it selling out on me and then not being able to get it because it's kind of two popular brands and cross there. And then the next day there's another one. So it's like, okay, I've got to order that. And luckily I was doing it through an e-tailer here that allows you to combine orders. But then I had to get my order code out on the first one, put that through. And then the next day, the same thing happens. So I had to do that again. It's like, do I put in the order of the last order I did or the first order? And then there was a fourth one. But it was all in and sorted. But yeah, that was my...
I'll tell you one thing that I thought I was going to be grabbing this week and then didn't is with the Funko stuff that comes out at conventions, etc. Again, we've mentioned before in Australia, we're very fortunate in that we get most of just at our retail places here because of the distribution deal that one of our main distributors has with Funko. But I collect just like the comic characters from DC in pops when they come out. And the Stargirl, which I'd seen on all of the things that I thought was coming, was like, hey, great, very exciting. Turns out that was like the Funcon exclusive. They only made 5,000 of them. And so now they're like a couple hundred dollars on eBay. And so I don't think I'm going to be owning one of those.
Mm.
Okay, well, that is everything, I think, in the acquisition space. So let's take a short break, and we will come back with our first toy of the week.
Anyone for turtle soup?
Oh no! Raphael's in the clutches of the evil foot Fleshomatic torture machine! Will the turtle cycle make it in time? Will Raphael be destroyed by the retro mutagen ooze?
I don't know.
What a shot! The double-barreled plunger gun saves the day again! And with their retro catapult, the turtles are giving the foot some of their own medicine!
Anyone remember where we parked?
Ninja Turtle.
From Playmate!
Eddie has our first review of this episode, and he is going to bring us some Teenage Mutant Turtles goodness. So, Eddie, over to you. What have you got for us?
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, it is. It's that time of year where I kind of get excited. San Diego stuff starts popping up. And if you've listened to us for a couple of years, one of my highlights each year around this time is the NECA Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They always go all out and do a four-pack of characters. It's often a bit out there and interesting. And this year's one is the Channel 6 News crew from the animated series, which was cool and exciting. But it made me realize that I'm actually a little bit behind in my animated NECA figures. And I need to start doing a bit of catch up before that San Diego set arrives. And we're quite lucky here in Australia. We're a bit spoilt for choice where these figures get released kind of to the fan channel market. So things like your online retailers, your comic book stores, spots like that. Whereas in the States, they are that horrible word, Target exclusive, when it comes to the animated series NECA figures. And if you if you collect action figures and have been on any form of social media, you'll know what a horrible term Target exclusive is these days. But tonight I've got two of the ones that I have recently picked up, which is Muckman and Krang. And this Krang's his version in the Android body. So to start off with, these two were released as individual sets, which is a bit rare for this line. Generally speaking, the NECA animated figures come out in two packs. That apparently has to do with a licensing thing with Playmates, where for NECA to have these on the shelves, they have to be considered sort of more higher end collectibles. They can't be competing in the main toy line section on a retail shelf that mum or grandma that's likely to pull from. It needs to be that higher end spot. So they release as two packs so they can be over that higher end cost. But because these guys are both larger deluxe characters, they actually cross that price point by themselves. So they can be released as one-offs, which is why the boxes are actually so big and smacked out for them. And the box designs on these are actually incredible. So they're designed to look like the old VHS tapes that you got in the 80s if you were a Turtle fan. So you've got some beautiful cartoony artwork. It's new artwork. It wasn't from any of the VHS boxes. But don't know the actual name of the company that used to do the VHSs, but the NECA logo has been changed to look like that company's design. And I think they even tracked down one of the old artists that used to do them to do these designs. I know they used the guy who was doing the Archie comic books for some of them. And even the back is designed to look like how they used to do. So you get like a little blurb here on Muckman saying, mutated by Ooze, former garbage man, Garson Grunge, and Joe Junkie becomes the world's smelliest sort of superheroes. Muckman and Joe Eyeball aren't here to clean up the town. They are here to clean up the town, but they will trash the foot and make a mess out of Manhattan while doing it. Includes trash pan, backpack, extra hands, swappable mouths, rockalizer, and a barrel of ooze accessories. And it's like a cool cartoon image of Irma talking to Joe Eyeball and three different images of the figure looking like it would be shots from the VHS episode. And I have that lovely Velcro. It's joy of being an audio podcast. You can hear the Velcro opens up, and that's where you'd normally have a look at the figure. Krang is rather the similar, except it's obviously artwork of Krang, and his VHS blurb has brains plus brawn make a calamitous combination with Krang the evil android body, blah blah blah, run through. And of course, the thing that I do love what NECA is doing these days is we do get some credits on the bottom here. So design and development on both is by Randy Fork and Trevor Zammit. Sculpting for Muckman is Tony Capano and Jay Kurashi. Sculpt and fabrication for Krang is Joe Sutton and Trevor Zammit. Paint for Muckman is Jeff Trapp and Mike Puzo. Krang, it's Joe Wendell and Jeffrey Trapp. I'm assuming Jeff Trapp and Jeffrey Trapp are the same person. I mean, he just got fancier in between releases. TrueCast Studios for the prototypes. Photography is done by Stephen Mazanek. Oh, and here's the sort of, oh, they got him back to front. So the illustrations on both by Dan Elson. So he's the guy who did the wonderful artwork. And packaging design is by Jason Langstrom. So I always love when we get the names of the people and we can actually give them credit for their work. So the figures themselves are actually really quite large. So to start off with, Krang here is Krang in his android body, which makes him one of the larger characters of the show. We'd already gotten Krang back in a San Diego pack years and years ago that came with his little bubble walker that got released in a two-pack with Shredder. This is actually a brand new Krang that's sitting on the inside here. He is removable. The top half of him does come off. It is a bit of a pain, and you want to be very careful with it. I have seen some images where the front piece gets broken, but generally what you kind of want to do is come in on the sides, and there are actually tabs that click it in, and you want to carefully untab it before you lift it up. You don't want to sort of try and chunk it, and you kind of want to head take it backwards rather than forwards because there's a lip there protecting it, and that lets you to pop Krang in there in the belly. And now I've kind of got him in there. I actually probably wouldn't take him out again because it was much easier to pop it open when there wasn't anything sitting inside his hollow chest.
Yeah.
But now that he's in there, it's a little bit harder to get the fingers in there. And being necoplastic, as much as I love it, I also don't trust it. So now I will probably leave them to stay through as it is. Articulation's very good. It's standard for what you'd expect from one of these Necker turtles. There's a lot of ball joints, cuts and swivels throughout. I've tried them all. They all seem to work good. There's no situation like with the Necker's Defenders of the Earth figures where there's any joints that I'm sort of super worried or keen about. One cool point of articulation is there are little joysticks near Krang's tendrils that are just in there on ball point, so they do swivel around and then can slide in between his tendrils himself, so it's like he's in there controlling the body. You do have some beautiful paintwork on it throughout, and there's actually a lot of different shading, so quite common on these Necker animated figures is the figures have a lighter color on the front and then a darker color on the back, and it allows that sort of two-tone that helps them give off that very animated look when they're standing on the shelves, because most people are going to put a figure on a shelf front forward and then ever so slightly on the backs of their arms or backs on the chest, when you can see it, it gives that sort of darker shading that looks like an old cell shading colorization, which is really cool. And then there are other spots throughout where I'll have little red symbols or kind of outlined in black screws and rivets, which give him that animated look. One really kind of dangerous thing is Krang on his android body has this little sort of fork triangle on the top of his head. Now, that's actually a removable piece, and I'll get into why that is later on, but that's kind of quite scary as a collector, that there's this tiny little fork piece that is like almost going to be a pre-lost accessory. So you do actually get two of these in the set. So if you do lose one, you do have one as a backup, but it actually plugs into the top of his head quite easily and it sits in there quite firmly. So once you get it in, you're not going to be too worried about losing it there. So the reason it comes with...
Oh, I was about to ask, why would it need to come out?
So the reason for that is one of his more weirder sets of accessories here, which I'll go into, is there's a famous scene where Shredder calls Krang up on the video phone and basically he's just getting out of the shower. So there is a version that has his wrapped around towel on his head, so you can actually take his little fork out, put this cap on his head, and then you can plug the fork in through a hole in the cap so it's sticking out through where he's wrapped the towel around it. You also get his soap on a rope and actual soft goods shower towel for him
to... Do android bodies need to bathe, though?
I'm sure it's an exposed brain that's on the inside of it. I'm sure it gets quite stinky as a piece and uniform. You'd want it to be washed out from time to time. I guess a shower is the easiest way to do it. But yeah, it is quite a weird scene, but one that's quite iconic with fans. And that I do like when they go that little extra mile, like, okay, here's not exactly the most exciting pieces, but a very iconic one. But if you do want some action pieces to go with him, you're not going to be let down here. So he does come with two different maces that you can unplug his hands and plug these into his hand holes. Is that what you'd call it? The hand holes where you take removable hands out and there's just those holes left inside. Yeah, you got some melee weapons. So you've got an axe and a little buzzsaw blade here that will also fit in those same hand holes. And last but not least, you've got two different blaster arms. So you can really load out his android bodies with lots of different armaments to take on the turtles, as well as a plethora of slightly different forms of open hands. This version of his Krang body does have the red hands, which is very reminiscent of the toy. Some of the episodes, though, he did have flesh-colored hands. So that's one of the few things that might have been good while we've been getting slightly different versions of open hands, where it can be almost hard to tell what the difference is between the degrees and how open they are. Part of me thinks, oh, it would have been nice if at least a pair of these were flesh-coloured so you could have both looks, but maybe that's an excuse for a release later on down the line. I forgot to mention with the Krang too, if you are wondering, you can actually fit this new Krang into the Bubble Walker that came in the previous release as well, which is quite cool. The other accessories that he comes with is you get some paper goods of his blueprint. So Krang's obviously the brains of the bad guys. He comes up with all the armaments. You've got the Knuckle Claw vehicle, and you've also got his blueprint designs for the android body. And last, but definitely not least, is he comes with a little buddy figure, which is Baby Shredder. So this is Shredder after he fell into the Fountain of Youth from the Leatherhead episode and got to age back in time into being a little baby. It's not really something you'd associate with the android body in terms of like episodes or subplot, but it's a cool little extra figure to get thrown in there. And he's quite articulated. So his head's on a ball joint. He's got ball joint shoulders, and he's got a cut swivel at the waist. He's almost like a Mighty Max figure or that, if you ever had one of those as kids, in terms of he's got the legs stuck together, but you can bend it over so he can sit down on things. He's really cool. Obviously, even if you're just collecting the main Turtles characters, the Android Krang's kind of one that you're going to want to have. He actually came out about a year ago in the States, and we've only just sort of been getting him here in Australia in the last couple of months. Next guy I'm going to talk about, though, is a little bit of the reverse. He started popping up here about a month or two ago, and I think he's only now just starting to hit in the States, and that is Muckman. So Muckman, as I read out in the bio, he was a garbage man who got mutated basically into a pile of garbage. So he's the Turtles version of kind of think Swamp Thing crossed with the Toxic Avenger. Is a good description of Muckman. Now, he's like a rather famous Playmates action figure, probably more so than he was from the cartoon. But this figure does a wonderful job of capturing his look for the cartoon, which was kind of a bit toned down a bit from the action figure. The action figure had a big, massive hole in his gut where he used to be able to squeeze slime and ooze through. So they didn't go with that for the cartoon, but he's sculpted with all sorts of junk in his belly. So he's got like a mirror, he's got some flour coming off, there's like an apple core, he's got this beautifully sculpted banana peel on the top of his head, and they've done a wonderful job of kind of giving it a browning yellow, as if it's going that bit moldy yuck, yet it's still got an animated look to it, which I think is kind of cool. And even you might notice that there's a bug crawling on his head, and when I saw this in images, I thought that just might be one that's painted on, but it's actually fully sculpted there on the top of his head, which is really cool. One spot, though, that I kind of got to lose points for him is he's got a very cool feature where his mouth pops out and he comes with a different mouth accessory, so you could swap over different expressions. But the mouth that I have in there at the moment seems to be fairly well stuck in there and doesn't want to come out. So it probably is the mouth that I'd display him with, but it is a bit disappointing that I can't really get it out without putting in a bit of effort. I haven't tried yet doing the heat up trick, which I think I might need to do to get it out. But that's a little bit disappointing and a little bit scary that you can't just quite pop that out by getting the fingernail in through the back. He's actually very well articulated, sort of similar to Krang, a lot of ball joints, cut swivels. One that surprised me is his left foot here has a massive sort of sewer grate that's been melded and mutated to his foot, but that's actually got ankle rockers and all sorts of pieces on there. So despite it being a massive lump of a foot, it's actually got a very nice range of motion and cross through that allows him to slide out and get into lots of cool standing positions. He does come with his trash pack backpack that just clips on into his back there. It is a very thin clip, so once again, being NECA plastic, as much as I love their stuff, you do always want to be careful with it. And that's perfect for sitting in his little buddy that he comes with, Joe Eyeball, who's a weird little Martian slug creature who was a little buddy accessory that came with the action figure. But for the cartoon show, they did him up in a bit more style, so this figure replicates that, and he fits in very nicely in the backpack there. He's got a nice ball-jointed head, so you can place him in different positions there to look out. He does come with some interesting accessories. So he wasn't really known for holding on or having much in the show, but being that his action figure was so closely associated with slime, NECA did include a barrel of slime with him. So you can open this barrel up and just pour green, neo-green sludge all over him. Lots of reviewers have done that. I'm not one of those reviewers. You can call me a bad reviewer if you want. I'm not going to open up and put slime on my action figure. I don't really trust it. And I've got a white table, so I also don't trust it on that. But another thing, and it's kind of a weird negative, I don't quite know why, and I don't know if it, I should count this as a negative, but I kind of do, is that there's a little label on the slime barrel that is the Troproton Labs compound XY, which is the kind of sludge that mutates Muckman in the show. But this label is a sticker that's on top of a plastic outlier around the slime bucket thing. So to open this up, you would actually then be removing that sticker off because it's just stuck on the plastic. It's not stuck on the barrel. So you can't open this and get the slime out there without kind of potentially damaging or ruining that and losing that little label, and it just becomes a weird green barrel then. So that's a bit sad that you can't check that out without giving it some damage. And then the other piece here, which you might have heard me read out on the back of his box here, is this weird sort of gun that almost looks like a loudspeaker. So this is the Rockalyzer that was mentioned on the package. And the reason it's called a Rockalyzer is this is one of those accessories that really isn't meant for Muckman. This is a gun that General Trag uses in the show. So really they used Muckman as a bit of an excuse. He does come with a trigger finger hand, but really you're meant to take this gun and give it to your General Trag figure, who he was shown with in original prototypes, but they couldn't make it work in the budget. And they found a spot to slip it in with Muckman. So I do kind of quite like that, because if you don't know the show that well, you could very easily just give that to Muckman and that's Muckman's gun and he holds it fine. But if you know the pieces, you can also put it off to General Trag, and General Trag starts to feel a bit more complete and set in there. And all in all, very hugely impressed with these guys. One thing that I didn't really mention, and it's kind of the case on both of them, is that the hands on these guys are a little bit more of a softer plastic than we're used to with NECA, which does make them feel a lot more safer when you're swapping the hands over compared to some of the other ones, such as Bebop and Rocksteady. So that's fantastic that they've taken that criticism on that people have been given of not trusting the hands and the flaking plastic that comes from the movement of those wrists and adjusted to that. So I do really like that. Said there is still a little bit of plastic worry when it comes to NECA. And with Muckman, as I mentioned, his mouth and the slime being stuck. So I'm going to give these guys, I think, about $8 out of 10, but it's a high 8 on that. Obviously, by this time, if you're a Ninja Turtles fan, particularly a fan of the 80s cartoon, you'd know of this line and you're probably getting them. I don't know if there's too many people on the fences, but if you were, if you're like, I've got the Turtles, I've got the main guys, I think I might be done. I'm eyeing whether I want to get, now they're getting into the more obscure characters like Muckman. And yeah, I think he's definitely, even though he's only in one or two episodes, it's definitely worth it to see the cool things that they're doing with this guy. And I'm definitely excited because we're getting Muckman in the Super 7 line. That's much more based off the action figure. And they're going to be really cool to compare these two different, like, we live in a world where we're getting multiple versions of Muckman. How can you complain about
that? That's actually going to be my question, not collecting these, of what is the difference between the Super 7 line and the NECA line?
So they really do stick to their mission statement. So the NECA line is, NECA is very much doing the entertainment product. So NECA is doing figures based on the 90s movies, the 80s TV show, and they're starting, they announced in one of the last talks, they are going to be going back to the original Mirage comic stuff again and expanding that line out. Through their stuff is very much based off the entertainment properties, whereas Super 7, they're doing figures that are based straight up wholly on the 80s toy lines from Playmates. So the 80s toy lines from Playmates was quite famous that they didn't really match the cartoon in a lot of ways, like a lot of 80s cartoons did. They were going off early models and prototypes, and they had to change a lot of the designs to make it easy to animate, whereas sculpts for the TMNT line by Playmates in the 80s just went off the rails. There's all sorts of weird little details on the figures and cross through, and Super 7 are just going nuts on that and really delivering us very toy accurate modern figures, very similar to what did happen with Masters of the Universe Classics, where it's like, okay, this is almost a straight up version of the toy redone again in a more articulated, bigger position. But whereas Masters of the Universe, there was already a lot of buck reuse and similar pieces going on, particularly in the early days of that line, Turtles figures were just so out there and crazy in the types of sculpt and little pieces and Easter eggs that were hidden all over the figures, that they're a company doing that and now actually fully sculpting and painting those little pieces, because they're often left just the one shade that the plastic was molded in, and that now actually getting those realized in modern sculpts and articulation is just amazing. They're doing very different things, but also very cool comparable things. That it is interesting because they are starting to cross over a bit now. We've got both are dropping Muckmen this year, both are dropping Mondo Gecko, and a couple of other ones. So it is interesting now that they're starting to release a couple of similar characters, which I'd imagine they would probably thought, oh, these guys are doing Turtles as well, so we'll do some obscure characters that they won't get to right away, like Muckman. And then the other company's probably thinking the same thing as, oh, we'll go deep so that we're not crossing paths with NECA over there. We'll do Muckman. And then within a month of each other, I think they both announced Muckman. And yeah, that's the way it goes.
Awesome. Great reviews. And I learned things, which is always good. What's next on the release schedule for these guys, like in terms of what you think you might be getting, what's coming up?
Oh, there's an absolute ton of stuff that's already been announced. So we know we're getting ones like Ace Duck, a favorite of mine, which is Anthrax, which is kind of like a medieval executioner ant, who was one of my favorite figures as a kid. I'm so very excited for that. In terms of stuff that they haven't shown that I would love them to get, there was like a weird episode where they had, it was very early on, they had like humans dressing up as Ninja Turtles, where they were just putting like painted paper bags over their heads with like turtles faces on and robbing banks, and people were confusing them for the turtles. Okay. I'd love to see them do, I'd love to see them do some figures of those guys. A human Baxter Stockman would be cool, but also just like, I love when they get into the obscure and weird little pieces. So Usagi Yojimbo turned up on the cartoon. Like, it would be cool if they were able to work out a deal with Stan Sakai to get him in. Just, yeah, weird little stuff like that. I always love when they're able to. That's usually NECA at their best, is they find ways of getting that weird little stuff. There was an episode, like a after-school special with Michelangelo talking kids out of doing drugs. Like, NECA would be the type that could come and go, like, here's a don't do drugs Michelangelo figure and all that weird. Yeah, I love the obscure. That's usually where I get excited.
Awesome. We wait with bated breath for the next installment. And in the meantime, we'll come back and we'll do our next Toy of the Week.
Mechanics, armor up, war machine.
That's Sparkle Beam.
Attach front battle computer module.
My brain blast will make scrap metal of you.
Not in this lifetime, MODOK. With my rings, I rule the land and sea.
I'm just undersea dome.
I'm here to make waves, Mandarin.
Iron Man, War Machine, Hydro Armor, Iron Man, and action figures, each sold separately.
I led the way doing a Toy of the Week on a villain and an obscure character, so Scotty has decided to squish both of those in together, and he's going to be talking about a very obscure villain that no one has ever heard of, definitely hasn't been used by every late-night talk show host as a bit of a punchline every time someone seems to be doing something evil in the world. So, yes, Scotty, over to you with this very underrated villain for Toy of the Week.
Yes, so you might remember the California Raisins is just friendly little things that danced. Not all of them stayed good, and this is the evil version, otherwise known as Thanos. Do you even know who the California Raisins are?
I do from pop culture, but I don't know. I To be honest, I can't picture them in my head. I just know them from references on sitcoms. They weren't a thing. Yeah. I think they were more like we had like weird caricatures of the Ovaltinis here from the Ovaltine drink. Yeah, so look, that is weirdly what I think of is from what I've heard about the California raisins is like these weird stop motion sort of oval shaped creatures that would play sport and sing and things like that.
Yeah. So it was a hugely successful, pretty sure it was 1980s advertising campaign. And then they did just like the Smurfs, you could get little plastic inert figures of them and that sort of thing. And they were all the rage for a moment.
Yeah,
you
could get little PVC things of the Ovaltinis here. I think they literally might have just copied the California raisins campaign, but they were like, Australians won't eat fucking raisins. It's going to be Ovaltines. Going after that Milo money.
So we had Ovaltine in the US too, but I think it was a rabbit.
That's quick.
Oh, that's quick. Gosh, man. Yeah. Well, there's a whole series there in advertising mascots, so that's totally not worth talking about. We are, of course, talking about the super non-obscure Thanos, but the comic version, and this is the Mezco 112 collected Thanos. So there is a photo album up on our Facebook page if you would like to play along at home. 2021 release and acquisition. And the packaging-wise, the standard applies of outside sleeve box that covers the window box, and then the billion trays underneath with the character-themed base and stand and the Mezco plastic bag. Now, I've never unfolded one of those. Because this is an oversized figure, if I remember, I do want to check out whether or not the oversized figure gets an oversized Mezco plastic bag or not, because that can't be the same. But again, I've just never opened one. They're all sitting in the boxes and I just laugh at them. But, you know, there must be a reason. I'm sure there'd be people that would riot if they took them away now. So they've obviously got to keep going. So Thanos, this isn't the most accessory heavy piece because obviously it is a much bigger just figure in general, but he does come with three heads. So there's just a plain expression, and then there's two open mouth expressions. One's kind of grimacing and one's kind of laughing. And they are definitely the winners for me because they've done a fantastic job with the sculpting and painting of the teeth. Open mouths and teeth in this scale of action figures can be a bit of a fraught thing where you often think, oh, I wish they hadn't done that because it looks so terrible. But these are actually fantastic. They're really well done. I think I've gone with the grimace one for the moment because the laughing one is a bit too laughing and the other one's too plain. So I'm doing grimacing right now. And then he comes with some swap out hands, which I'll talk to you later because there's hands and gauntlets and we have some issues when we get to that point. Mm. So part of the idea of the 112 collective stuff is that it's highly articulated and that there is mixed media, fabric, costumes, etc. So this is a bit interesting because this, as far as the sculpt and the costume goes, I think they've done an absolutely sensational job, and I'll talk through pieces of that in a moment. But on the articulation and movement side, this is a pretty limited figure for a couple of reasons. So I think that this may not live up to some people's expectations of what they think that they're getting out of a 112 collective. One of the things that I've really loved about the kind of regular edition figures is that they do these amazingly constructed fabric costumes, but it really doesn't limit movement. And so the great articulation allows you to do some really fantastic poses, etc. This is not quite the case. So sculpting wise, first of all, I've got to say the head sculpts are fantastic. The textures on them, if you kind of look up close, the texture of his purple skin is really detailed. It's not in a standout-y way. It's just that the texture is very different from the metal of his helmet and the rest of his uniform. The faces are all beautifully sculpted. The detail in The sculpt of all of his gear is fantastic. The heads swap out really easily, so they're quite easy to pop off. And the top of his, what do you call that? When you'd been here for uniform pieces names, his like shoulder armor
thing.
I'm holding up to the
camera. I know like one on one side it would be called a pauldron. I don't know what it's when it's covered.
A double pauldron? Pauldry.
Yeah. Pauldry. Yeah. Star is mad about you, pauldry.
That's gotta be it. And the pauldry is a separate piece, so makes it quite easy if you want to make, you know, kind of do something with the heads, etc., or not wear it. But there are magnets in the undercarriage of the pauldry, which then obviously there must be magnets under the uniform of the shoulder so that it sticks on quite nicely. It's not wobbly, even though it is a completely separate piece. When you take that off, you still see, though, that the articulation in terms of movement of the arms is pretty limited by the gear. The sound that you're hearing now is part of the Infinity Gauntlet falling off, which we'll get to in a moment, but this is something to be aware of. He then has a belt. The top of his tunic is a separate piece from his trousers, which are also a kind of vinyl piece. He has got sculpted and stuck on boots, which again, the sculpting is amazing. But the real limitation, I think, and what people might find frustrating here with this figure movement wise comes in the legs, because there's very limited leg articulation. You're not going to see this guy sitting on a throne easily if people, you know, want that sort of look, because the pants are too tight, and between the tightness of the pants and then the restriction of the huge boot on his leg, there's very little knee or leg movement that you can do with this. He's going to look great. That's not going to bother me one bit, because I'm going to find a pose that I like and never move him again. But if, you know, I think that it probably is not quite what you would expect from the kind of standard of the line in this oversized figure. I'm not sure what they could have done differently, because obviously he's a bulky dude and he's got that kind of, he's a lot wider at the top, then his legs are a bit stumpy in comparison to the rest of his body. And this is the comic, you know, version that we're talking about. So I'm not quite sure what they could have done differently, but I do think that the lack of ability to do much with these legs at all is going to be a bit frustrating for people that wanted to do more opposing with this. So then the real issue with this is the gauntlet. He comes with sets of regular hands that are fine and swap on easily. He's got his amulets or bracelets, whatever they are, and he has fists and open hands and hands that can hold things, and he comes with a cosmic cube that he can hold in the palm of his hand, and that's all great. But gauntlet-wise, it comes with two options. There is a non-light-up gauntlet that is just like another hand that attaches to his wrist, and that stays on better than the light-up version, because the bracelet or whatever the wrist, gauntlet? You know, things, gauntlet, are called, is a separate piece that, for all of the regular hands and the non-light-up gauntlet, you just swap out it at the wrist and the hands stick on. You don't get stacks of movement with the non-light-up gauntlet, but it is a lot better than the other gauntlet. The other gauntlet is a separate piece for all of it that is a light-up piece, but I have not been able to this point, and I unpacked this just a little bit earlier today, I have not been able to actually get that to rest on the peg over the arm. And I wouldn't display this with the light-up gauntlet anyway, because batteries, etc., I just don't want to really touch that, because that's not something that I'm going to need in my display. But I did initially thought that the all-in-one gauntlet, which is the light-up version, looked better, because there really isn't any movement in the separate piece gauntlet, but to this point, impossible to put on. And I have read some then comments and reviews. Other people have had trouble in both keeping the separate piece gauntlet hand on, which we heard dropping earlier in my review, or the light-up piece. The light-up feature, if you can get it working, looks great. The battery stuff that they do, you know, I think is really fun, even though it's not something that I personally kind of bother setting up because I don't play with them. I just play. But if there's, I'm not sure that the additional cost that would have come from that is necessarily worth it if the results are as difficult as they seem to be in terms of actually getting that hand on. So that is a shame. Like it's a really impressive figure. It's saved by the sculpt and the paint. The sculpt is brilliant. Put it, and you just got to put it up against the like Thanos Build-A-Figure or Deluxe Thanos, and you see the difference in terms of just the level of detail in the gauntlet, in the pauldron, in the boots, etc. It is amazing. The level of detail in his fabric suit as well is amazing. So as a part of the 112 collective line, this Thanos works perfectly. But I do think in terms of the articulation, first of all, the legs are, they're a bit of a bummer. Like there's not a lot that you can do. And if you compare that to other Mezco figures, like the standard ones, where you've got still pretty much full leg movement, there's a little bit more kind of room in the trousers, I think, for a lot of them. So there's just not that same issue. Now, this is obviously a bulkier figure, and he's got those boots as well. But I do think that probably loses a dolly. I'm really happy with it because he's going to look great on the shelf with the other figures. I'm not trying to do a lot of different poses, and I'm not worried about the light up figure, but I think that this is probably like a 7 out of 10 dolly review for me, because I think that there are some challenges there, both in terms of just movement, but also it's not just the light up gauntlet, it's the regular gauntlet as well, and how tricky it seems to be to actually keep that gauntlet hand on the rest of the arm. It's pretty loose. So great looking figure, but you may find some frustrations in posing and managing.
Very cool. So now, obviously, this is a bit more of a modern design for Thanos, and we don't have Ben here on the podcast to complain about that. What? But if they were to go and do a more Jim Starlin classic Thanos, would you be tempted by that, or is this Thanos ticking all the boxes for you?
Look, I don't know. I'm a sucker, right? Like, I think if they gave us the lighter blue, outfit, and the more comic accurate, more kind of classic gear, I guess it depends on the price. This is nearly double the price of a standard Mezco figure. I'm not sure that I can see the justification for that when some of the stuff that, would be extra doesn't necessarily work fantastically. But yeah, I'm sure if they did a classic version and I could get it, I probably would. I think this is a really good, because this is a really good crossover figure, in that I think that if you were an MCU fan, you'd probably be really happy with this as well. Like, it doesn't, have the Brolin likeness or the exposed purple head, which, like, who wants that anyway? But I think this would stand in really nicely with MCU stuff as well. So I think that was probably a good kind of middle ground to choose. But yeah, definitely if there was the more kind of lighter blue and brighter yellow, I'd probably go for it.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they didn't lead with that one, because he has more of kind of baggy tunic look than the more modern armored design. Like, I would have thought that would be easier to do in the 112 style, but it is one of the things, like, I am always interested and surprised by which designs and choices that they go with.
Yeah, I think this is probably one that I can't see them doing lots of versions of, simply because of the size. I'm sure it makes it a lot more expensive for them. I think that he's definitely not something that you're going to go out of your way to get if you're not a 112 collector, because the deluxe one that we just got from Marvel Legends is really a fantastic figure and comes with options and gauntlets, etc. But he's a very serviceable addition to this line.
And any other cosmic characters that you'd hope that they make to go along with him?
Ooh, I wouldn't mind a classic Adam Warlock, obviously, would be a pretty fun one. Classic Captain Marvel as well. Like, I think that we seem to be getting a good range of characters, but pretty modern versions of, and so some of those characters that don't really have a modern MCU counterpart, etc., we may not be as likely to get or to see, but Hope Springs Eternal. I'd also love comic Gamora. That would be super fun as well. I think she'd be a beautiful figure in this line, but look, I've got realistic expectations.
Mm. Actually, as Star-Lord could look really good in a Metzger 1-12 style.
Oh.
With what with light-up stuff, and he's generally more actual clothing type design. He could be cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what comes here. Like, it's, so we got Black Bolt and Lockjaw, which is, you know, a really fun thing on the kind of cosmic side, and whether they don't seem to be as focused on kind of real like team completion, etc. I don't see a real kind of method to the character selection from a completist point of view, so we'll just have to wait and see what comes of it. But I did enjoy this one despite my criticism. So that is my review, and that is our show. If you would like to give us some feedback on how we did, or what you think of what we reviewed, or tell us what you're collecting, then you can email us at podcast@actionfigureblues.com. You can also find us on Twitter at AFBlues. You can find us on Instagram, actionfigureblues. And you can also not just like our Facebook page, but you can join the Action Figure Blues Collector Community, which is a great group of people who share lots of things of purchases and announcements and collecting, etc. And we would love to see you there. And we will talk to you next time, everybody.
Good journey.
Good night, nerds.
The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. Our theme music is by Robert Crandall. Our ad music is by Scott Holmes. The AFB logo is created by Nath Stones. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, please check out our sponsors like Mark's Comics and Stuff, Loot Crate, Audible, and Gamefly. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at actionfigureblues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/actionfigureblues. Thanks for listening.